So in preparation for watching Spider-Man No Way Home, we decided to go and watch all the old live action Spider-Mans. Wasn't that fun, guys?
Sure, an absolute delight.
I thought it was an entertaining experience, at least.
I realized my childhood was a lie.
You're gonna have some hot takes this time, boys.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy. So we're talking about the Raimi trilogy, Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, and also The Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2. So I guess we'll just start.
Huh? I'm going to call those the webisodes, by the way.
The webisodes?
Hell yeah.
Sure. Whatever.
Webisodes?
The ones made by Mark Webb, obviously.
Oh, the webisodes. Okay, right. Raimi and webisodes. Gotcha.
So I guess we'll start at the beginning. Spider-Man 1. How did this hold up for you guys? For me, I'm surprised that half the memes came from Spider-Man 1. Like, every other scene has already been memed. So that kind of made it pretty fun for me.
Anything
that Willem Dafoe says.
Yeah. Spider-Man 1 definitely oozes charm for me. Just from all the Raimi-isms and just, like, them trying to do comic booky things in a movie so hard. It just comes off as weird and hilarious. I quite enjoyed this movie. It was lots of fun.
The only problem I really had with it was Toby and MJ. Like, their acting felt so stale in this. Everybody else, I thought, did a great job. Yeah.
You're at this.
Will Dafoe, he carried the entire movie.
From the beginning.
He did such a good job.
No, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed this movie. I remember liking it as a kid, and then, you know, everyone always says the second movie is just the best of the trilogy, and I was kind of expecting to get through this movie so I could get to the best one, but I was having a blast the entire time I was watching it, looking at all the memes, just seeing, the plot developments, laughing at how cringy everything that Tobey Maguire says is, laughing at how Kirsten Dunst couldn't be MJ to save her life. It's just, that movie's a blast.
Yeah. Toby goes full on dweeb, I feel like. Painfully dweeby.
Yeah.
Yes, but in a good way.
Oh, you in a good way? I'd say in a bad, I think he took it way too far, or the writing took it way too far. Because there are scenes where he straight up just says nothing. He just stares blankly. Yeah. And
I feel like it's funny because as looking at it from how we would expect Spider-Man or from to act or from what Hollywood usually makes a dweeby nerd to be, it's woof, that's rough, buddy. But that's probably more aligned with what a somebody like that who is just so painfully socially awkward in real life would be, at least to me. It's just, it also just comes across as extremely weird and awkward because while he is pretending to be a high schooler, Tobey Maguire is in fact a fully grown adult. That kind of messes with it a little bit.
It's a good thing they get out of the high school really quickly in that movie.
They couldn't do it fast enough. They were
those hallway scenes are hilarious. Oh man. But it's funny you mentioned the socially awkward thing where he just doesn't talk, because I even brought it up while we were watching it that legitimately, I think Peter only has four lines of dialogue in the first 20 to 30 minutes of that movie.
So
there are variations of him being no, or sorry, as someone bullies him. He doesn't say anything for a strange amount of time. And it doesn't really get better from there, where someone talks to him for 5 minutes and he goes, she's like, man, Toby, you're killing it.
Just absolutely nailing this Peter Parker role, my dude. I'm curious if that's if that was what the script looked like, or if that was just Toby being himself.
Once he started actually becoming Spider-Man, though, I think he kind of fit into the role a lot better, because they had a lot of scenes where he's just saving a bunch of random people, and just doing friendly neighborhood Spider-Man stuff, and those were the scenes that I thought were the best in the entire movie. Because he's kind of quippy, but still in a dorky way.
Yeah. It's you who's out, Gobby. Out of your mind. That's just, that's like chef's kiss. I could have, Stanley wrote that one himself in the 60s. Just ripped that one straight from the pages. It felt like that moment. Yeah, I do feel like Toby kind of, it's part of the arc, whole arc is Peter becomes Spider-Man, he gains more confidence, makes sense, you know, when you become a stud. I will say that of all the Spider-Man, this movie really was kind of made before, you know, we had supermodel superheroes all the time. So I feel like Toby is not, he's probably the least hot Spider-Man, you know.
How dare you?
If we were ranking them.
Oh, you're going to rank them based upon... Well, we well, someone's going to be at the top, and I think they might appear in this episode.
Yeah, but well, it ain't Toby at the top. nothing against my boy, Toby Maguire. But, you know. Spider-Man doesn't need to be hot, though. That's not the point.
He could be there could be anybody under that mask.
Anybody could be under the mask. He could be a freak. A menace.
He is a man.
You said the M word.
Oh yeah, the other guy who carried the entire movie.
Yeah. Anyways, the real star of the show,
J. Jonah Jameson.
Yes, it's rewatching all of these movies. I would have to say any scene in the Daily Bugle gets me giddy because I'm like, oh boy, we're about to watch whatever. Good. What the best scenes of the movie are about to happen, boys! Like
they're hilarious.
He captures the character perfectly too.
So good.
He was made for the role.
It's so weird because his lines at once feel so ridiculous that no one could ever say them, but they also feel so natural that they're obviously the only things that J. Jonah Jameson could say in that scene. Like they're so, yeah. It's like two extremes where they're really dumb, but they're also perfect.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. I feel like I'm watching a different movie when we walk into the Bugle office because it's just like the lines are so snappy and quick, fast paced, and it's just everything about it's great. And then, I mean, the movie's still great after we leave the Bugle, but it's like I'm watching it, just it feels like I'm watching a different movie when we walk in there. And maybe that's just because J.K. Simmons approaches this stuff.
I hope he's in No Way Home.
Side characters, like all the side characters in the Daily Bugle are fun, where you have like Hoffman, he's always screaming at him. You have the editor whose name I can't remember. Like basically telling Jameson like we can't print this, and he's like print it anyways, like I'm sorry, okay fine. You have Betty like with her like making fun of him and like, hey, your wife said to like you know, keep it calm, keep it cool, and like just all that stuff. Like you got to call on line one and he gets angry at that every single time. It's just every side character in the Daily Bugle is fun.
Yeah, no, it's those are good times. I like those.
I mean, other than
we're jumping around a little bit, I wanted to talk about the origin a bit. I remember distinctly as a child, my parents went to go see Spider-Man and I was super jealous of them. And they didn't let me go see it. I didn't get to go see it until they saw it first. And I remember asking them what their favorite part of the movie was. And they were talking about the origin where he was figuring out his powers. He was like figuring that stuff all out. And I will say, like watching through that I feel like that is kind of my favorite part watching this movie too, is the, just, you know, post he's gotten bitten by the spider and he's just, you know, he wakes up, looks in the mirror, he's shredded.
Whoa. You forgot the most important part, the skull that jumps out at you.
The skull that jumps out.
So yeah, weird. I did not remember being in the movie.
Just the absolute classic, you know, completely in place skeletons. Spider-Man, they go handed.
Why does this movie have that was a little weird. In it.
Part skeleton.
Yeah, Raimi likes to throw in his little random jump scares, which are funny. No. Like most of the time. There is one scene that my favorite is when they're in the when Harry's talking to Osborn or his father, and they're like hugging it out because Harry feels betrayed by MJ. And Norman is a raging sexist, so he's there for him. And it just like, they're like, how do we end the scene? I don't know. What if Goblin just went into the camera?
Oh, yeah.
Just the most bizarre edit ever. Like, second most bizarre edit. My favorite edit in this whole scene is Peter looking at that ad for the car after he sees Flash like drive up in his like fancy car. And he's like out there designing like his suit or whatever and imagining like what it's gonna be like. You just have Peter awkwardly smiling as his like head wobbles because he's drawing. And this just like weird like PNG of a card fades into the frame along with MJ's head. It's just like the most awkward shot ever. But I'm also like, they're trying to like, I could almost see like that illustration in a comic book panel of Peter like thinking about those two things, and you got like, you know, the portrait of MJ in the car, and like that's like, that feels like a comic panel right there. But in a movie, it just is like, what am I looking at? This is so weird.
This definitely feels pretty, I would say, I don't know if I would say faithful, but what would you guys say? You guys are the comic experts.
I mean, so
faithful to the point where this definitely feels very comic booky.
Yeah.
Like if you get into the more modern MCU movies, like they're still very, you know, fun and bombastic. There's a lot of crazy things that happen, but they take themselves very seriously. And this movie really doesn't. So it just feels like it's one of those crazy comics from like the early days where it's just like anything could happen. You know, every character is just like really wacky and quirky. Like all the lines just don't feel like real people would ever say these lines, but they said them anyway. And it's just, it feels pulled from like those early days of comics.
I love how we're at this point where it's like, yeah, let's make this movie like wild and quirky and like an old comic book, but they weren't brave enough to go full classic Goblin suit. They still had to make him look like a Power Ranger.
I kind of like this.
I will say that I don't like Goblin's costume in general, like in the comic books either.
It's,
and I don't
really
know.
Very appealing.
No, it's really dumb. So I don't really know. I don't really care that they transitioned, they changed it. And I don't really know how they could make it work better on screen.
They should have just gone for it. Done the baggy like sacks and everything.
Just done the outside purple underwear and the scaly green legs. And
oh yeah,
the one thing that I really would like is the long purple cap. That's my favorite
part. Oh yeah, the cowl. It's perfect.
Yeah, I feel like I have seen designs for Goblin that work really well, but the comic books still draw them really stupid. So you know. Until then, I guess the movies will do that.
Until then, Power Rangers Gabi is just the best.
Guess that's what we got. Couldn't even spray a little purple on that sucker. You know, like everybody knows, the villain's got to be green and purple. It's like rule of thumb.
Yeah. It does feel pretty true to those early days of just quirky, wacky comics that are just, they're fun.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of Spider-Man's dialogue and the like jokes that he makes in particular are very reminiscent of like 60s, 70s comics versus MCU and webisodes are not like that at all. I feel like those are much different.
No. Yeah, the tones between, I guess this is kind of jumping the gun, but like the tones between the Raimi movies and the webisodes are wildly different.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. How do you feel about the CGI? How do you feel like that held up? This came out in 2002.
2002, I didn't think it was, I don't think it was bad.
No.
It was fine.
It also gives us the best scene in the movie. Oh, sorry. My personal favorite scene in the movie where Goblin just skeletonizes some people. And it's an utterly ridiculous scene. And it just...
Skelly boy.
Oh my God, it's so good.
It's a special Goblin bomb, all right? And all it it's like a piranha. It explodes and a bunch of piranhas come out
and they just eat instantly the devour everything in like half a second
to the bone. Yes.
Man, if only he used that against fast. I don't know, like some kind of spider guy and won a fight.
Really
useful to skeletonize.
You see Tyler Tip, if that is your real name, he had to make Spider-Man choose.
Yes, of course.
They had to go to the bridge because we got to have a bridge scene in our Spider-Man movie. That's something else that I've realized while watching through all these is they go to a lot of bridges. They make me real nervous.
There's no blondes in those shots. Don't have to worry about it.
I am almost positive. Like Raimi knew. Well, Raimi reads these comic books. He knows what he's doing. He's like, oh yeah. He's rubbing his hands together. I'm going to take him to a bridge. Oh, we're going to take Mary Jane to a bridge. And every person that's ever read a Spider-Man comic is going to think she's going to die. Oh, we're going to do it. No. It's going to be delicious. But no, the Chad Spider-Man saves the children and the girl he loves.
Just remember my favorite line from all three movies, unironically. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us.
Yes, the classic. I feel like we have the extras have a lot of fun in these movies. I feel like they say lots of funny things and they scream a lot, which is another fun.
A lot of screaming.
A lot of screaming women in these movies.
He loves screaming women for some reason.
It's like everyone has their thing, Gary. Tarantino likes feet. Raimi likes screaming women. What can I say?
So fun game you can play with your friends. Watch these movies together, watch the entire trilogy. And every time that there's a woman on screen and she's screaming and doing like the same note scream, because they all scream the exact same way, which is bizarre, but whatever. Every time that happens, take a drink. And then immediately call 911 because you will have alcohol poisoning. It's bizarre how often women are screaming in these movies. And I can't believe
sometimes I never noticed it. Twice in the same scene.
Twice?
Maybe more.
It always sounds like it's the same like audio clip too. It sounds like it's the same scream every time. Like they just got one recording and they're just like, we're just going to use that over and over again.
That one specific scream is Raimi's fetish. That's what it is.
He heard it somewhere else. He's like, pull that. We're going to use that.
You know, he just like looks at everyone in the room. He's like, you need to leave it now because this is happening. And he's just like quickly unzipping his pants. He's like, oh, this is the best scream I've ever heard.
All right. I'm glad we drew a picture of that. So,
yeah. Absolutely.
I think we should move on to the second movie. Okay. Unless you guys have any last remarks Spider-Man.
Let's move on to the tentacle.
No, my last remark the sexy is tentacle that, man. That movie has aged really well, and it's still just, it's fun. It's a fun movie to watch.
It is a fun movie.
It's funny because it's like aged like in a bad way, but like in a charmingly bad way.
Yeah.
Like to me. Absolutely.
No,
I agree. Watching this, it's like, we're never going to get a movie like this again, unless somebody's specifically trying to make a movie like this. You know, just to like replicate the magic of Spider-Man 1. But
you know, I'm somewhat of a director myself.
I'm a director myself. My favorite line of the movie.
It happens like 3 minutes in.
It's so random.
Yeah, too. We boot up the movie. He says that line. I'm like, all right, boys, we can go home. That's all I can see.
Oh, one last thing. Like, my favorite line of the movie is when he's getting the goop on, you know, and getting himself with the experiment, and then he like lays down on the bed and he's like, ooh, that's cold. And it's 100% not scripted. And they just kept it in there.
It's a foe being taken by surprise. Be like, oh geez.
No, there's no way that's scripted. All right. But on to the second one.
Spider-Man 2.
The second one. Spider-Man 2.
For me.
Call this one Spider-Man 2. Peter Parker is a manipulative monster.
highest expectations for me ended up being my least favorite of the Raimi trilogy. Only because like the pacing felt really off. Like the first three quarters of the movie were really slow for some reason. And they didn't really need to be.
Yeah, I found myself when we were watching this movie for basically the first and second act when he was being Tobey Maguire and he wasn't being Spider-Man, or excuse me, when he's being Peter Parker and he wasn't being Spider-Man.
No, you had it right the first time when he's being Tobey Maguire.
I wasn't as enthralled. I wasn't as into it.
Well, it was mostly the drama between him and MJ and him just like,
it isn't compelling at all is the problem.
Yeah, like I just want to walk through like Peter's little journey with MJ throughout this movie, because you know throughout Spider-Man 1, it's understandable because he's, you know, he's just thirsty, he wants MJ, and he's Spider-Man, but he can't tell her, and he's trying to figure the whole thing out. And then Norman figures out who he is. First move, I'm going to kidnap MJ and throw her off a bridge. Classic Spider-Man villain thing to do. And Peter realizes, okay, I can't be with MJ and be Spider-Man. It's going to put her in danger. So I can't be with her. So she confesses to him in a graveyard, very romantic. And he says, nah, fam, and walks away. Spider-Man 2 kicks in the gear. Peter is taking out the trash. He's in his backyard. And MJ's out there too. And they're having this conversation. And it's like poetry. It rhymes. It's like that first scene in the first movie where they meet. And Peter's just so painfully awkward. And he's still like, nah, I can't be with you. And then she says, I'm seeing someone. And Peter, the absolute Chad, he's like, oh, therapy? No, Peter, I'm seeing someone, bro. Like, I'm dating them. And Peter flips immediately. He's like, what? You can't see anyone other than me. You have to long after me forever.
Classic incel
move. But I can't
be
with you because I'm Spider-Man. You know what? I am going to come see your play. I'm going to start thirsting after you again. God damn it.
He is 100% pulling off the nice guy maneuver.
Without a doubt.
He won't go through with it, but no one else can have her.
All he needs is the fedora.
Hips fedora.
So he inevitably does not go to her play because he's Spider-Man. And that's what Spider-Man does.
He's real good at keeping promises.
And she's like really excited for him to come because she still is thirsting after him. So, you know, she's disappointed that he's not there. He waits outside all awkwardly. John Jameson comes out after the play. We see how handsome he is. MJ walks away with him. Peter's regretting every choice in his life ever. And this is probably at the point where he starts losing his spider power. Well, he was kind of losing them. I don't remember the exact timeline, but he starts losing his spider powers. And that seems to be pretty directly tied to him wanting Mary Jane.
I hate that plot point because they don't really do anything. They bring it up a couple times, but it never amounts to anything.
No, it's just convenient to the plot.
It's not like freaking Far From Home where it's actually critical for Peter to lose his like Peter tingle, his spider sense, and yeah, that actually comes like, back at a critical point. No, it, like they just kind of like ignore it throughout the entire Spider-Man 2.
And then it just comes back by the end. Like there's just.
It's so weird.
I feel like it's supposed to be a more straightforward representation of him like going through accepting that this is his life now, and like he gets a chance to go back to the old way and he realizes he can't do that. And like I get that they want to show that, but it is still my least favorite part of the movie.
Oh, that's a good point though.
It makes Act Two an entire slog because it's basically
It's not fun, but I get what they were going for.
Especially after half of Spider-Man 1 was him building up to be Spider-Man. Like, we already went through.
And then they're like, let's do that again.
Like, no, I want to see him do stuff.
What they really wanted the Spider-Man No More moment with the trash can.
Yeah, they have that exact shot.
The exact shot for shot, straight out of the comic books. Spider-Man No More. He even says Spider-Man No More. And like, most, like, that's not how people talk, Peter, but I understand what you're trying to do here.
They wanted their money shot, and by God, they were going to get it.
Raimi's just like, the little spider fanboys are going to eat this one up. And oh boy, did we. Dinner is served. Anyways, Peter loses his powers because he wants MJ. And then he like begs her to come back to him. Like they're walking down the street after she's been proposed to. He watches them announce that she just got proposed to at a party. And they're walking home from that. And he's like, well, you know, that was cool and all. But, you know, I know I've been rejecting you for the, like, last 2 years or whatever. But, like, you should give me another chance now. Because I'm different.
So naturally.
And so MJ, being a rational person, is like, no. She leaves. The only rational thing she does is this trilogy. But then she becomes irrational. She goes home to and she's with John, and they're filling out their wedding invitations, and John brings up Peter for some reason.
Oh, let's see if her friend is going to join.
Yeah, yeah.
Her one friend.
Yes, yeah, an innocent. Friend. No, just a friend. Just a friend.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Hey, can I do the upside down kiss with you?" And they do that, and she's like, "Man, this is just not like kissing Spider-Man." And then she, that prompts her to call Peter to a diner, you know, being like, "All right, Peter, here's a camera. Just pull in on my wedding ring right now as I'm talking to Peter about how I kind of like still am thinking about it." And she's like, "Peter, this is your chance. Kiss me right here now." And Peter has already gone through the arc where he's like, "I want my spider powers back. I can't be with MJ." Motherfucker denies her again. And Doc Ock throws a car at them.
Well, the best part is he doesn't even know that he's Spider-Man at this point, so he just threw a car at them and just like hopes that it wouldn't kill them.
I know, Doc Ock did not know. He just thought at that point, because Harry had told him, Harry had told him that Peter knew Spider-Man.
He's like, going to interrogate. So
the rational thing to do is to just throw a car at him and hope he lives.
That is.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Ock does a lot of weird stuff, but I like his actor a lot. Like, he did.
Need to talk about Ock.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the main villain yet. We've been talking about Peter stringing MJ along.
Toby is the main villain of the second movie.
Well, he is a menace.
It's an absolute J.
He was right the entire time.
Yeah.
Peter Parker was a menace. We just couldn't see it.
Yeah.
No, I like the stuff with Ock. I like the way he's introduced. The whole like experiment scene and everything. I like his like fall from grace. I like him just throwing a car at Peter. Like, yeah, this will give me the information I need. This can't possibly.
I'm a smart guy. I'm just gonna throw this car at this dude and he'll be.
Yeah.
The math all works out.
Was that him or was that the arms doing that?
I mean, both.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I guess the whole point is like Otto Octavius does not start off as a bad person. Although we do kind of see Ock is very obviously meant to be like likable and charismatic before like everything goes wrong for him. But we also see, you know, as the whole experiment is failing, he's like too arrogant to let it end. You know, his experiment is still more important than the safety of everybody around him.
He's obsessed.
So it is like, yeah, he's obsessed. So it is kind of like still kind of there, like that he's a flawed scientist. He's full of himself.
Imagine a scientist in the Spider-Man universe being flawed. Never would have guessed.
Yeah, no, they're all perfect.
Yeah.
So then he makes a point to say that the microchip kicked. That the special microchip in his brain or whatever keeps the arms from taking control of him. And of course,
naturally,
30 seconds after that gets introduced, it gets burnt to a crisp. Surprise, surprise.
10 million IQ directing.
If anything were to ever happen to this, it'd be really bad. Oh no, something happened to it.
I do love, by the way, we're having this experiment where Doc Ock is essentially summoning the sun in like a room. There's no protective glass. There's no protective anything.
They're just like, in an
everyone
apartment.
Stand a couple of yards behind me, put on these goggles. It'll be fine.
And they even mention if something goes wrong, it'll blow up half of New York. And everyone's just like, oh, okay. And they stand right there.
It's just to do this in some random building in the middle.
It's like
of
an
New
apartment
York.
Building.
It looks like an apartment building. It's insane.
How is this approved? Who approved this? Who did this?
Well, apparently Harry did because he's the one funding the project. We know that Harry's an idiot.
Well, he was apparently smarter than Ock because he was telling him to shut it off.
You know what? Oh, that's true. Yeah. I take
Harry
that back.
Harry was the
Harry
real hero this whole time. Also, we need to talk about Harry and his absolute salt for Spider-Man, his almost hilariously exaggerated salt for Spider-Man through all this. We have a whole moment where the like lab is blowing up and Spider-Man saves him. And first thing out of his mouth, this doesn't change anything.
His priorities, okay?
He's not thinking about how everything's falling apart. He could die because a literal sun is in the room and it's about to explode.
Spider-Man, like 2 years
he still
later.
Killed my dad, though. This is like 2 years later. Yeah. He's still like really upset. Harry shows up. They're throwing a surprise birthday party for Peter, like when he first comes home after he ruins pizza day. And they throw a surprise party and Perry's like, hey, Peter, buddy, happy birthday. Also, Spider-Man's a bitch. What the heck, man? You know who he is? Would you tell me? Bitch.
Because he takes, well, he knows because he takes pictures.
Yeah. They're obviously buddy-buddy.
Obviously, yeah.
You know what's funny, though? Like, you're explaining all this, and the way that you're describing the movie is way funnier and way better than the actual movie, because us rewatching this, I don't like the second movie all that much, and yeah. I didn't realize I wouldn't like it, because it's the one that everyone says is the best one, like, it's the favorite.
The second movie is the one that I watched the most as a kid, because I, like, owned it. I didn't own the other two. Well, I didn't own the first movie, and then Spider-Man 3 came out a while after. And I remember watching the second one as a kid, so I was like, oh, yeah, here we go, nostalgia time, baby. And I was very surprised coming out of that, being like, that is not as good as I remember it being.
Well, it's because of the whole ending sequence.
It's Act 3. The third act is Act 3, good.
When he does the whole train thing is
the moment he lands
good.
On that train, well, the it's moment Ock throws a car through the window, that's when everything gets better. And it's like, and now you're about to watch some of the best Spider-Man
you've ever. Yeah, because he flips. And he's like, yeah, I'm Spider-Man.
Spider-Man again. Very conveniently.
They're the same person.
See, it's a symbolic, because he finally accepts that he can't have MJ, and he has to be Spider-Man. And in that moment, he's made his decision, and his mind turns the spider powers back on, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. We watched Spider-Man 2.1, which had some additional scenes in it, I'm pretty sure it was an additional scene, the doctor like explaining why his powers weren't working, because I don't remember that from when I was a wee lad. But he was like, just like, yeah, it's all in here. Taps his head. It was really weird.
He also straight up tells that doctor that he's Spider-Man. Like,
he's just like, it's hilariously, let's just say theoretically, I was Spider-Man and my spider powers weren't working. Would that be weird?
Well, the doctor is great, because he like looks at him and like looks down at the clipboard. He's like, yeah, that'd be weird. Like,
yeah. So
I'm very good at keeping that secret identity, I see.
No. But before we get into Act 2, I did want to just say that the other moments where he is in the Spider-Man costume doing Spider-Man things, I still quite enjoy. Any moment really throughout any of this trilogy where he's in a Spider-Man costume doing Spider-Man things, I have a blast.
They did a great job. Those effects aged very well.
Yeah, two's effects look much better than one's, for sure. It's definitely a step up. But like his fight scene with Ock at the bank was a lot of fun. Him trying to do pizza time on time was fun. Him constantly falling on his ass because his web stopped working. Fun, I guess.
I guess.
I don't remember. Was it? Oh, when he stops the explosion in the lab. I mean, I guess that one's pretty quick, but I don't know. I just like seeing a man in spandex in a red mask jumping around doing Spider-Man things. I just that always makes me giddy. That's what I'm here for. That's why I watch these movies.
They needed more of it.
A lot of that in Act 3.
Yes. Oh, Act 3 is all Spider-Man doing Spider-Man things.
This is what we've been waiting for.
I mean,
the train scene is a cinematic masterpiece. Good.
It was so weird that, like, rewatching the movie and realizing that I just wasn't having fun with it at all, you know, right after we watched the first movie, and I just had a blast the entire time. And then Act 3 came along, and I was like, you know what, maybe this movie is still pretty good. And it occurred to me that the reason why people love that movie so much is because the last third of it is so good. And I wish the first two thirds were like anywhere near as good as that.
Yeah, no, it feels like they wrote that third act first, and they were like, okay,
we
this
have to
is incredible.
2 hours.
How do we get here, though? And then we got Acts 1 and 2. Yeah, no, I love, like, the just this. A fight on a train is such, like, it's because it's so fast, and, like, so many things happen. Spider-Man's, like, jumping around and, like, dodging, like, things as they fly by. It's just exhilarating. Feels good. I love that fight so much.
I like trains.
I like trains. Do you like that fight scene as much as the one from the Wolverine? Remember that? You remember when he fought someone on a train?
I think I've seen the Wolverine one time, and that was in theaters. I remember almost nothing about it. So no, I don't.
They should have taken more notes from Spider-Man on how to do a train fight scene.
You might be making this up, because I don't recall a train scene at all.
There is definitely one of those Wolverine movies. I can't remember which one, but one of those Wolverine movies, he fights on a train at one point. I remember him digging his claws into the top of a train.
Does this mean we have to watch all the X-Men movies now?
No.
That's what's next, boys.
Excellent. I'm ready for that.
Excellent, you say?
Oh, yeah. You know what I was going
What
for
about
it.
Games, guys? It's supposed to be a games channel.
There are Spider-Man games.
Oh, shoot, you're right. Let's play every Spider-Man game. No, I'm dead serious. I want to play every Spider-Man game with you all.
With all of us?
Together.
How about you just let me play the PS4 Spider-Man over and over and over again?
We can stream forever. We each call dibs on a different Spider-Man game to play.
Okay, cool. I take PS4 Spider-Man and then Ultimate Spider-Man for GameCube.
I take two. Ryan, you have the worst one.
I take Miles and Web of Shadows. I guess
I'll take.
Anyways, one. So we have the scene where he's on the train and he stops the train from going off the tracks, and then we have our classic, "You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us" scene, but for Spider-Man 2, where they bring him into the train. And we have he has his Jesus moment with his hands out, and they lay like 40-year-old Tobey Maguire on the train.
He's just
a kid, no older than my son. I remember watching that as a kid and being so confused because I didn't understand that Peter. I wasn't doing the math in my head of like, oh yeah, he was in high school 2 years ago, so like he's like 20 or whatever. And in my head, I'm like, that's an adult. Talking about. I'm so, as a kid, I was legitimately confused by that.
As you should be.
he does not look like a child at all.
Yeah, the math doesn't check out.
No, it doesn't. And then, naturally. Wait, how does Doc? Why does Doc take Mary Jane? Oh, he just took her after the diner scene. So once again, you know, it's not a Spider-Man movie if. Two things don't happen at the end. One, Mary Jane gets kidnapped by the villain in the climax, and then it ends in a graveyard somewhere. So Mary Jane gets captured, taken to an abandoned warehouse. There's lots of women screaming, and Peter and Otto fight, and that fight scene's fun as well. I don't remember that one nearly as much as I remember the train fight scene.
It's fun,
but it's still fun.
Nothing too crazy though.
And Peter talks Otto down, and Otto kind of has this little redemption arc of he won't die a monster. And then he stops his own creation and sinks to the bottom of the river. Or does he? Bum, bum, bum. Anyways, Mary Jane finds out he's Peter, or Peter's Spider-Man. And that's very cathartic after all this time. And then she goes to have her wedding with American boy toy John Jameson, who has done nothing wrong throughout this entire movie, has wronged nobody, has been completely understanding, and from the sounds of it, a great boyfriend. And she just leaves him at the altar and runs away in slow motion.
That's what he gets.
Go back to space.
Yeah, go back to space and become a werewolf.
I was supposed to say, idiot. Well, first he has to get a little bit furrier, but, you know, whatever. They're not brave enough to do that storyline in the movie.
No. And then she goes to Peter in her wedding dress, and she says, "I'm not getting married, Peter. I love you." And he's like, "Cool, I'm going to go be Spider-Man now." And wings away.
Just yeets out the window.
He just yeets out the window.
Classic
Spider-Man. And Mary Jane moment. Just has this look on her face of like, what have I done? And then
but they're together now.
Yeah.
And then which only leads to good things in three, am I right, fellas?
Yeah, three. Peter's such a stand-up guy.
Yeah. In the continuing saga of Peter being a manipulative asshole.
So three's hilarious. as an understatement.
The thing's really funny for all the wrong reasons.
Everybody knows Peter's a scumbag because, you know, the black suit, the symbiote suit is, you know, it's doing stuff to him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what it was.
What people don't remember is that he's such a scumbag before that happens. What was it, 20 minutes into the movie? He swings down and kisses Gwen in the middle of everybody right after just talking with Mary Jane.
He just takes the upside down kiss with Gwen.
She points out it's a bad idea. She's like, wait, are you sure? Like, should we do that? He's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
like,
Gwen doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to do it. But she's just like second guessing it. Once again, Gwen, not a bad person at all. Gwen throughout this whole thing constantly is like, oh, she has no ill intentions at all. She's completely like just doing her own thing. And Peter is just dragging her down with him. But yeah, no, he upside down kisses her in front of Mary Jane. And he does not have the black suit at that point. He just is like, this is a good idea.
And their relationship was already hurting. Like, he didn't make it to another play, right?
He didn't know about that, to be fair.
Oh, it was like hidden emotion. Like, he should have read the signs. Okay.
Well, yeah. It's kind of weird because one, MJ gets fired and then she doesn't tell him I don't think she ever tells him.
She tells Harry.
Harry's the one that tells him about it. And he finds out from Harry. So he doesn't realize that she's going through all this stuff. But she's also not telling him. So it's really like her fault at the same time. But also, like, just don't kiss Gwen in front of her.
Just don't do it.
Just don't do that. No, you see, Gary, we got to build up the potential romance between Peter and Gwen, because, you know, she's got a little date with a bridge in Spider-Man 4 or 5 or whatever.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. We never got there. Anyways, yeah. They say, though, well, you know, you could sit there and blame the symbiote for, like, Peter being a complete asshole throughout this entire movie. But Connors says on the phone, or I think it's Connors, says that the suit just kind of exaggerates the qualities of the person who's wearing it.
Yeah, he does specifically say, like, exaggerates.
Yeah, so it's really just, like, that Peter's been an asshole this whole time. He's just holding it all in.
Yeah, also, that's
also not how the symbiote works in the comic books, but, you know, it's neither here or there.
Well, the symbiote isn't really the symbiote in the movie. It's kind of just this sticky stuff that sticks to a person, and, like, they're kind of mean, I guess. It isn't really alive.
Yeah, because Eddie never talks to it.
No.
It doesn't ever have like a, I mean, at best it kind of, when Peter goes to sleep, it takes him over because it's hiding in his room for like 4 days straight. And then it creepy crawlies all over him while he's sleeping. And then it like takes him out for a little swing and then he wakes up in the middle of it. But yeah, the suit in this is very different from in the comic books, which, I mean, it doesn't have to be just like the comic books, but the way that they approached Venom in this is very—it's very weird.
It's strange, almost like it feels tacked on or something. Weird.
It really feels like Raimi didn't want to do Venom in this movie. It feels like he wanted to focus on some other villain. I don't remember who it was though. But like, Sony really wanted Venom in there, and so he was just like, "You want Venom? I'll give you Venom.
I'll give you the worst Venom ever."
And then just one of the just. I don't know, man. It's so but wild to me. Like, because Venom is such an inherently cool looking character, it's like you really have to try hard to mess up Venom.
The scrawniest Venom I've ever seen.
They don't even have the spider. The big white spider that's like half of his design.
Yeah, we still haven't gotten a Venom movie with a big white spider now.
I was about to say, like, he didn't have that.
Venom. I don't want to talk about that movie though. Let's stay on track.
Okay.
Anyway,
so this movie has three villains in it. We got your boy Harry Osborn, who's got nothing left except Spider-Man. Sandman, who is retconned to be the true killer of Uncle Ben,
that was a stupid retcon.
It's stupid.
Like, it's
get a load of this. So instead of the killer that ran past Peter killing Uncle Ben, he ran past Peter, stole Uncle Ben's car. Sandman comes up out of nowhere and kills Uncle Ben.
Yeah. Well, they're like in cahoots or whatever. Like they're trying to get away at the same time. And
I guess, yeah,
they kind of like try to make it like, no, it's still the burglar's fault because like he taps on Flint's shoulder and that startles him and he pulls the trigger and that kills Uncle Ben. So if Peter had still caught that guy, then Uncle Ben would still be alive. Cause that's how that works. But yeah, no, they, you know, Spider-Man villains, a lot of times they need to try to, they want to tie it into Peter Parker's life. Like, you know, Osborn very clearly has a connection to Peter through, you know, being the father of,
you know, Harry like Osborn. All the scientists.
Yeah. Doc Ock is a potential father figure for Peter who gets yoinked away. And so with Sandman, you know, he doesn't really have anything to tie him into Peter's life. So they're like, what if we made him the guy that killed Uncle Ben?
Guess you killed Uncle Ben now.
Yeah, you killed Uncle
Ben. Your boy Flint.
Sandman is the true killer of Uncle Ben. That's like one of those things like that I wonder how, if people think that that's like the case, like if people think that that's how it worked in the comics, because
I mean, probably if the movie is remember, the only thing you have is reference, then that's probably what you think happened in the comics.
Because yeah, I remember just
recreate their own thing.
When my dad had watched the Batman, the old ones with Michael Keaton, and he was telling me at one point how Joker killed Batman's parents, and like that was part of his origin. I'm like, what? Because like that happens in one movie and that's the one he watched. So like that stuff is like weird because like, you know, you retcon something like that or you change something up in somebody's like lore, and people who don't have any other context for that, they just like, yeah, that's how it is. Sandman killed Uncle Ben. That's classic Spider-Man.
Although I don't think anyone's ever said that. I've never heard anyone say that afterwards.
No. Well, at the point of Spider-Man 3, everyone checked out.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Which is a shame, because the best part of Spider-Man 3, besides all the ridiculous things that happen to Peter when he puts on the suit, is definitely Flint. I like Flint's storyline a lot, and I think he actually has like a lot of sympathy going for him.
Yeah.
And I wish he was in the better movie.
Sandman's whole, like, there was a whole Sandman movie in there that could have been good, and, you know, we got you take out all the venom parts, then you might have like a half decent movie. But because I was kind of surprised. I didn't mind the Harry stuff either. I was like, yeah, no, they've been built working up to this. Oh, like they've Harry? Been really wanting to.
So good.
Yeah. So good. Favorite line from that scene
without a
or
doubt.
From that movie is yeah. So good. And then he winks and he disappears behind a car. It's like the Flash. Yeah. No, I liked Harry's whole thing. And he goes through a little redemption arc. And then, you know, this movie has like a lot of dumb moments. And I'm not even that big of a fan of Flint killing Uncle Ben. But like the scene at the end where like Peter forgives him for everything. And then Sandman just floats away. I'm like, he probably shouldn't have let him get away. But it was still a nice scene.
Like he still robbed banks. He's still a criminal.
He's
trying to save his daughter, but still a criminal.
He still like needs to like pay for his crimes. Like
yeah,
he still killed Uncle Ben. Like he pulled the trigger. So you know, but like over, but like that aside, like I was like, no, that was a nice scene. I enjoyed that scene.
You want to hear the ultimate unpopular opinion? So
me.
After rewatching these three movies, And if someone said, hey, do you want to watch, you know, an old Spider-Man movie? I would definitely pick the first one over two and three. And I would, at this point, probably pick three over two just because I had more fun watching all the stupid stuff that happens. I hate everything in this movie involving Venom because they butchered a character that I absolutely adore. And I would still rather watch this movie over two just because the entire second act with Peter just being a dick and doing all the dumb stuff with the suit on, it's comedic gold. Every single scene is just... It's so good.
It's so the whole good. Sequence, that one sequence where he's just strutting around town, still amazing.
bar thing. I feel like we all kind of had.
Oh man,
we all had that forgiven scene with Spider-Man 3 after all these years.
Yeah,
and then it floats away in the wind.
I hated that movie. I despise Spider-Man 3. This is the first time I think I'd ever seen Spider-Man 3 after seeing it in theaters. God, however many years ago that was, but 2005, 2006. And I liked it way more this time just because I wasn't expecting anything good. And I could just watch it and make fun of the memes and make fun of the stupid things that happen. Enjoy the Flint storyline for being, you know, generally just pretty good and sympathetic. And yeah. I liked it a lot more this time, and I didn't think that would happen.
Yeah, I feel like the memes, this movie has drawn in lots of memes over the years, and I feel like that's helped make, it's helped a lot, but it also, I feel like there were scenes I was supposed to take seriously, and Uncle Ben's death, I couldn't take seriously because Peter's freaking face where he's like bursting into tears as he watches Uncle Ben die. I've seen that as a meme so many times. And then to make it worse, people Photoshop that picture to make him like, so that he's got like a toothy grin. So he's like smiling and crying. And that's the only picture I have in my head while that scene is playing out. And I can't take it seriously. Yeah. The memes, they're fun. They also like, I'm like, man, some of these scenes I can't, I just can't with them anymore because of the memes.
Yeah. Anything else on Spider-Man 3 before we wrap up, Raimi?
Go ahead.
Oh yeah. I will say that it is absolutely refreshing that we had not one but two Stacys in Spider-Man 3, and they get out scot-free, which has never ever happened ever.
It seems illegal.
It's definitely not okay.
We can't have Spider-Man stories where the Stacys don't die. That's like their signature move.
So good for them.
That was really revolutionary. And that was, they were brave enough not to kill the Stacys.
They have three movies where they dangle a heroine off of a bridge. And nothing happens to that nice little neck. And they had three movies where it ends with a funeral, and none of those funerals were Stacy's.
Oh my god. So many scenes of people falling from high places and Peter shooting a web to save them. So many times where that happens. I'm like, Pete, don't tempt it, Pete. Just be careful.
It gave me anxiety. And it's like, I've seen these movies before and I know they're not going to do it. And it still gives me anxiety because it's ingrained into the comics that like Peter never does that again because of his one mistake. And they do it constantly in these movies. Come on.
It's just, I always get a little twitching when that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. All in all, I had fun revisiting the Raimi trilogy.
Yes, the Raimi trilogy, let it be said, the Raimi trilogy, for all of its highs and lows, it was very fun to go back and revisit.
Maybe we'll revisit one day.
Which I cannot say for the webisodes.
To the webisodes. We have our pretty boy, Spider-Man.
Yep.
Oh, complete
Hollywood boy toy, Andrew Garfield.
Complete 180 from Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. I mean, he's still
sexy. I'm surprised. Peter Parker.
Okay, so Amazing Spider-Man 1. I'm surprised at how well he pulled off being awkward, though. I didn't think he was going to be awkward at all because I don't remember these movies very well.
He's awkward around Gwen, but he's just got such a pretty face that it's just like, it's not awkward. It's just like the women swoon. They're just
that's endearing, so cute.
It's cute.
I swoon. I'm not even gay, but I like, here I am. Like, take me, Andrew Garfield. Just take me to a bridge right now.
It's the one meme. It's like, hey, good looking. How you doing? Hello, HR. And then like the good looking guy comes out and she starts swooning. It's that, but with Tobey Maguire and Garfield.
Yeah. Garfield is such a completely different direction for Peter because he's like a skater boy. He like skates in the hallways and the teacher's like, hey, you can't do that. And he's like, I'm a rebellious teenager. I'll do what I want. I'm Andrew Garfield.
Not Toby.
Yeah.
I'm not Toby Maguire. I'm not your
not your average your mommy Spider-Man. I'm the amazing Spider-Man.
I'm not your grandpa Spider-Man. I'm hip and cool and new, and I'm gonna take my shirt off and be sexy.
Well,
and I'm like, well, you're not wrong.
I think because they could definitely go down the dweeb route for Toby, like really, really hard. So I think for this, they didn't want to do dweeb so much as like, he's kind of a loner. Like he doesn't really have friends.
A loner.
He's a lone one. He's a what? He's a Sigma?
No, nowhere near. Are you kidding me? He needs to be way better to be a Sigma, but it's just like, he doesn't really know anyone in the school at all. And it feels like that's the kind of like nerd or the kind of like dweeb they were going for, is it's someone that just kind of keeps to themselves and doesn't really know how to talk to people because they just haven't done it.
Well,
it's a different approach.
Yeah, they had a scene in Amazing Spider-Man 1 where Flash, the new Flash, is bullying some kid. He's holding him upside down and putting his face into his lunch. And I'm like, yeah, they had to do that with like an actual teenager, because it would have been really weird if he picked up Andrew Garfield and held him upside down and put his face into that food. They couldn't have done that with him. So like they have like, instead he's bullying somebody else. Peter tries to stand up for him and Flash just punches him in the face. And I'm like, I don't know how else you would have done that scene. I guess that makes sense, but it's like, you know, we're not shoving Andrew Garfield in any lockers.
He's too cool for that.
Yeah, he's way too cool.
And he doesn't even get like, his face doesn't get messed up. His face gets like messed up in a cool way. Like he still looks hot with that bruise.
He's like rugged. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's such a double standard.
I don't think Andrew Garfield can look unattractive. I think it's impossible.
Well, and then you have Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy. And
yeah,
they
best casting decision ever.
Like, it doesn't matter what scene you're in, you're gonna have eye candy on screen the entire movie.
Oh yeah.
Whatever your sexuality, there's someone on screen that you absolutely love.
Hey, you even got a big old lizard if you
even for
those
scalies
out there. Yeah.
Yep. And you know what? Maybe we'll get some werewolves in there for the furries. Who knows?
Not
on Amazing movie, with Amazing, anything's on the table. Because they had some really dumb plans for this movie. For this series.
But yeah. I will admit, I'll put everything out on the table, because I even told you guys before we started watching. I like Amazing Spider-Man 1.
I liked it too.
It's always gotten bad rap, like both of those movies have always gotten a bad rap for just not being as good as the Raimi movies. And I don't think they are, like they're not nearly as charming or really as memorable. But I think the first movie actually has some pretty good plot developments. I think Peter and Gwen has some good scenes together. Their relationship is way more believable than anything that happens in the Raimi trilogy. And I like Kurt Connors. I wish his lizard was more lizardy, like the weird human face on the lizard body looks strange.
Yeah.
But other than that, I actually kind of like that development and, like, you know, him trying to get the research done and everything. I think it's just pretty good. And I always felt weird when people were like, man, I hate that movie. And I'd be like nervous, sweaty, like, yeah, I hate that movie too. No one likes that movie. It's all bad. And I secretly enjoyed it. And I still enjoyed it again, watching it these years later.
I remember watching these movies and being very spiteful towards them because I wanted Spider-Man in the MCU. And this felt like a vendetta to not do that. So I was very excited to come into this with fresh eyes now that I've gotten exactly what I wanted. And to see if I was just looking through whatever the opposite of rose-tinted glasses are for the Amazing Spider-Man trilogy. And I got to say, I still am not big on them. Not even the first one. I'm still not huge on it. Hashtag not my Spider-Man, I guess. But
he's too pretty.
He's too pretty. That's not even the issue. I just feel like whatever they were going for didn't work for me. It was just this weird, desperate attempt to differentiate, like push themselves as far away from the Raimi trilogy as possible. You know,
oh, it's very anti-Raimi.
Yeah.
Yeah. They changed the great power, great responsibility line. They change, you know, Peter's whole, like, Peter doesn't really even like the whole thief stopping, or the where he ignores the thief, is like this completely, like, he just did what any normal human being would have done, where a guy robbed a store. He's not even running in the same direction as Peter is when he's trying to get away. I'm like, he's already across the street, my dude. I don't know what you think.
Also, he's got a gun. Him. Like, you're going to ask some random
and
citizen
he also has
to
a
stop
gun.
A guy with a gun? Like, you would never do that in real life.
Yeah. Like, you know, he's still like, what? Like a couple of bucks. I'm not gonna risk my life
over
that.
It's like a 12 pack of beer and like 15 bucks.
Yeah, it's just and then, you know, Uncle Ben, dumbass idiot, goes for the gun and gets shot.
He's too honorable.
Yeah.
It's gonna like make me sound like a purist, but it's not really even the purist thing, because MCU, I love MCU Spider-Man. He's very different from the comics, but I don't know. It's just something about like this whole Spider-Man doesn't like sit as well with me when I'm watching it. I will say Kirk Connors is good. I don't like his wizard design, and I definitely don't like his supervillain plan.
To lizardify everyone?
Why was that his plan?
Because evolution, grep, obviously, because humans are dumb or monkeys or whatever, and he's just like, nah, lizards, they're really cool. I'll lizardify everyone. Because of reasons.
Everyone, he's got a point.
he wants to defeat racism or something. That's kind of what he makes. He's like, everyone's equal. Let's make them all into lizards.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, and the less you think about it, the better.
Yeah, and then we have our you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us scene where all the crane guys line their cranes up so Peter can swing.
Was that
really silly to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
because the cop shoots him.
Yeah, because the cop shoots him. I do appreciate that Gwen pretty much knows right off the bat that he is Peter, or that Peter's Spider-Man, because like that's, you know, I'm just kind of like done with that.
Yeah.
After
who played trilogy, that song, like,
yeah, dance. Let's get all the dirty laundry out of the table. Peter's Spider-Man, and which is also very different from the comics, because in the comics Gwen never finds out that he's Spider-Man, and she also hates Spider-Man with a burning passion because he kills her father. Spoilers. Well, he doesn't kill him personally, but
yeah,
he's a collateral.
Never be a father figure near Peter.
The instant Peter sees you as a potential father figure, you might as well be carving out your gravestone because you're good as dead, mate.
He dies at the end and has that graveyard scene, though, our iconic graveyard scene.
What I said about Spider-Man 3, and it's a miracle to be a two Stacys and either of them die. Well, that streak was broken in the second movie.
Yep, Stacy dies. He asks Peter, hey, Peter, you're Spider-Man. Stay the frick away from my daughter, please. You'll put her in danger.
He does that, and then freaking Gwen is too thirsty. She's like, I need that pretty boy Spider-Man in my life. And he's just like, okay.
I mean,
he does put it off first. For a little bit. Although he does kind of have like that weird scene. I don't even understand what it meant. But he like comes to class late, and then the teacher's like, don't make promises you can't keep. And then Peter's like, those are the best kinds behind. And he like says that to Gwen. I don't even know what that meant.
I think that means that he's going to break a promise.
So he absolutely had no intention on following Stacy's like dying request.
He still did for a little bit.
The power of
and then all of Spider-Man 2 exists just to prove that Stacy was right.
Hang on a second. No. Wait a second. If someone made you promise that no matter what, you would never go after Emma Stone, would you really keep that promise?
Do I have a chance with Emma Stone in this?
No, you don't. But let's just say that hypothetically you do.
Ryan, you always do, first of all. But let's carry on.
You would keep that promise. Come on.
You're right, because Emma Stone also like has red hair, which is even better.
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course.
IRL. So, ironically, we have the old switcheroo in the Spider-Man love department with Emma Stone being a redhead. And
she plays the blondes. And then we had the natural blondes, who plays the redhead in MJ.
In the Raimi trilogy. Yeah.
Weird.
Good stuff.
Yeah. But besides the weird lizard design, and besides the stupid plan to make everyone lizards, I still enjoyed that movie. And I probably shouldn't. But I like it. I don't know.
I think my biggest gripe with this movie, because obviously the reason I'm here is to watch a man in red spandex jump around and do Spider-Man things. I don't like the Spider-Man suit very much. And I think that all kind of comes down to the fact that it's like his lenses are like reflective, which makes them like really dark.
Ruin the movie.
It just looks like weird and dumb. So if I'm not having a good time when he's dressed up as Spider-Man because I think his costume looks silly, then am I really having a good time?
But hey, they fixed that costume in the second one, and it's obviously the superior movie. More amazing movie. Let me get my adjective.
Oh, yeah.
Except it's not.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 has one thing going for it, and one thing only. And it's that suit is fucking fire.
It is really good.
everything else. Are we moving on to amazing?
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, the second one? Oh, Grep, do you have any opinions on Amazing Spider-Man
the webisodes?
One? Yeah, it's real. Yeah, yeah. Oh, on one?
Yeah, one.
No,
yeah.
No, it was pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty
okay.
I enjoyed it. Well paced, you know.
Yeah. So now we're moving on to the travesty that is known as Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, the snore fest that's Amazing Spider-Man 2, where 90% of the movie nothing happens.
We kind of continue the theme of flip-flopping between will they, won't they? Peter constantly being indecisive on if he's going to be with Gwen throughout the entire movie or if he's going to be Spider-Man. And then he makes his decision, much like Peter does, where Peter decides, or like Toby does in the old movies, Toby's decided he's not going to be with Mary Jane, he's going to be Spider-Man, and then Mary Jane makes the decision. And then Gwen Stacy's going to move away to a faraway place called England. And Peter decides he's in love with her and he's going to go with her. And as soon as he makes that decision, he seals her fate.
I'm not sure if it's meant to be part of the joke or if you're supposed to just like take it at face value, but when Gwen is describing going to England and like the UK and stuff like that to Peter, he then's like, who cares about the UK? Like England is a stupid country, blah, blah. I don't know if it's supposed to be part of the joke, but Andrew Garfield is British. And so
having him make
fun of Britain, like in the movie, I'm not sure if this was supposed to be like a dig at Andrew Garfield or like him making fun of his own country. And I hope it is, because otherwise that scene is really weird.
It is kind of odd because if you don't have the context for it, it's like, is he just really hate British people? But it's like, if you know, then you're like, oh, he probably came up with the, he probably like was just coming up with that on his own while he was doing that.
Well, people from the Big Apple are really prideful too. So,
yeah, that's
because if you mess with one of them,
New York,
you mess
with all of them. Is that true in Britain? Probably not.
Probably not.
Anyways, Peter confesses his love to Gwen and says he's going to move with her to
England,
and you can practically hear her neck snapping as he's saying that. He even confesses to her. These motherfuckers have them do the confession scene on a bridge.
But not the bridge.
But not the bridge.
Yeah.
No. Ironically, when we finally do get the scene, it's not on a bridge.
A freaking random clock tower in the middle of a power plant, which makes zero sense.
For some strange.
Reason, for some reason, there's a freaking clock tower. Anyways, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Are we? Do we need to talk about Spider-Man 2 anymore?
You forgot about Electro.
How do you feel about Jamie Foxx's Electro?
I liked him before he turned into Electro.
You mean when he's a stalker?
Yeah, when he's a stalker. Because I think it shows an interesting side of someone who gets saved by Spider-Man, and then they think that, you know, maybe they get obsessed with that, and Spider-Man doesn't actually know who they are.
No, he does remember him eventually, because he even says, like, the guy with the blueprint.
He says, like your name, don't tell me.
Yeah, but he does remember who he is, at least. I don't like that scene because it shows that he does actually care about the people he saves and like he's trying to help him. And then the police shoot Electro anyway.
Yeah,
at that point in the movie, Electro's like, oh, Spider-Man lied to me. It's like, what? He spent that entire time trying to save you and gives you like three or four warnings, like, please, like, they're going to hurt you. Let me help you. And then the police shoot him and he's like, I hate Spider-Man. And it's such a weird disconnect. And I hate that so much because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. He also has like this weird complex. Well, because he feels like he's been ignored all of his life. And so he goes to the Times Square and his face is on every screen because all the cameras are pointing at him. And then when Spider-Man, he gets shot, and Spider-Man like saves somebody or something. And then all the cameras turn to him instead of Electro.
And then
Electro is just mad. And then that's what that's what sets him off for some reason. I'm just like, okay. All right.
Yeah, they did some really good characters. Grep is right. Like the whole before he's Electro thing is like a different dynamic and it's pretty interesting. And then they basically throw that entire dynamic away just so that he can have a stupid reason for hating Spider-Man and like wanting to fight him. It's just, it's strange.
They had an idea, but they didn't really.
Yeah, there was no follow through.
Well. Yeah. This movie also has three villains in it, technically. Because we got Electro. And then we got Harry as a goblin, and then
I hated Barry. Oh my gosh. So
they were like,
slimy. Like,
yeah. It's just gross. Like,
he's gross.
They have like that weird body horror scene where he's like transforming and they like do like a super zoom in on his sweaty back and it's like bones roll. I'm like, what am I?
Yeah, his shoulder blades, like his shoulder blades meet in the middle. It's weird.
The friendship is also like the least believable thing.
Yeah.
Oh, ever. Yeah.
You can't convince me these two people have ever met in their life.
They definitely have not. There's no way.
Harry's whole, like, I don't know. Harry's whole thing, too, is, like, he's dying because of an Osborne curse that turns him into freaking goblins, apparently. And he needs to, like, not die. And he thinks that Spider-Man blood can save him. So we asked
for some reason
Spider-Man blood. Yeah, he's just like, oh yeah, Spider-Man can like heal or whatever. So like, I'll just take some of that good. And also, for some reason, Harry's like dying way faster than his dad is.
Yeah, his dad seems like very explicitly says it took 40 years for the curse to catch up with me. And then Harry is like literally dying just what, a week later, 2 weeks later. So apparently those 40 like years meant nothing.
Scene.
He didn't even know he had the curse. And then as soon as he like finds out about it, like that he's immediately now he's dying.
I guess I'll die.
And so he like asks Spider-Man for blood and Spider-Man's like, no. Which is like, it's like, I mean, he's dying anyway. So like, I mean, you might as well just give him.
Well, because he says it could do something even worse to you. Like, it could create, like, an abomination, which it does.
Yeah, it could turn into an abomination and kill my girlfriend. That'd be crazy, though. Yeah, I don't know. It just, that whole thing, it was just very stupid. Especially coming fresh off the Raimi trilogy, which had a Harry arc that made sense. This was very rushed, not good. Stupid. It's not good.
Wait, who's the third villain? He said there's three villains.
Rhino shows up at the beginning and the end.
Oh my god. I entirely forgotten that Alex is in this movie.
Wow. Wow, they're setting up Sinister Six.
Setting up Sinister Six, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
It never happened.
Just shows up in a rhino suit at the end and some little boy is like, I'm gonna stop this rhino man. And Rhino very considerately does not kill him. And he doesn't shoot his Peter when he swings at his Spider-Man at the end. I'm like, man, I feel like based off how he was shooting at those cops, he would have shot Spider-Man on sight, but he like let Spider-Man have his little moment with this boy.
He's an honorable man, I guess.
He doesn't kill children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were setting up Sinister Six.
Really hard.
Really, really wanted to set up. They had big plans. By big plans, I mean, you know, they had plans, but they weren't that good. For this whole trilogy, or for this whole series, the webisodes. From the sounds of it, the whole plan was they were going to have a Sinister Six movie, which I guess would either have no Spider-Man in it or very little Spider-Man. And that would have been what came after Amazing 2.
That's and then Amazing, terrible.
And then Amazing 3 would have been the Sinister Six Spider-Man showdown.
Bold move.
Boy, I'm glad we didn't get that. So
yeah, we never got that far, though. Amazing Spider-Man was not well-received, and it didn't do very well financially.
Well, I know I didn't receive it well, so there's that.
So there's that.
I still like the Gwen scene. They could be like the worst rendition of the Gwen scene ever, and I'm still like, oh man, it gets me.
Very sad. Yeah, it definitely was the best part of the movie, though.
Yeah, I did feel something when that happened. But I think we're missing the most important part of this movie, you guys. And that is, of course, the whole story of Peter's parents.
No, I was very deliberately leaving that out because it doesn't matter.
I forgot about how that.
You guys weren't invested?
No.
In characters so that are
not
completely
in the movie.
Ignored in the comic book.
As if they I ever them... care about Richard Parker.
his weird choo-choo train in the underground. He hid coins in a calculator. He invented the spider. It's like poetry.
It's not.
It rhymes.
Oh gosh, these movies.
That's why the spider worked.
To die. I changed my mind. This retroactively makes me hate the first one. That whole plot is stupid. Yeah. Whoever it greenlit is, it, did, just
oh man,
bad idea.
Now I'm in a
it's
bad
bizarre
mood.
Too. They because I was looking at, like I said, their plans for where they were going in terms of like future movies. Because I was like, are they gonna like pay this? Like, yeah, I mean, they're wasting all this time on their parents. Are they gonna pay it off? But I don't like see. When I looked into it, I didn't see anything of like, oh yeah, they're gonna do this with their parents. That's super dumb, but you know, that's where they're going with it. I don't see anything. So it's like, is this all a waste of time? Was the big reveal gonna be that Peter's dad was behind the spider and that's why like I don't understand. We spent so much time on his parents. For what?
For filler.
Yeah. Filler.
You know, could have had more scenes with Harry and like fleshed out their relationship or anything. Oh nope. Gosh. We need Richard Parker.
Literally could have done literally anything else.
Yeah. I was falling asleep during Amazing 2.
Yeah. No, that wasn't super great. Yeah.
Never again. I don't think I'll watch Raimi trilogy again. Not gonna watch Amazing 1 and 2 again, probably.
We're gonna do a 10-year anniversary retrospective.
Yeah, we'll do 10 years from now, maybe.
Yeah. On all the movies again. Every 10 years, but we come together. We have a blood bond. Every 10 years, we come back and we watch all the Spider-Man movies. And we just, fingers crossed that the new ones are good.
Yeah. All right. Any last remarks, guys? I think we covered just about everything. Running out of time, too.
Well, my last remark is don't watch any of these. Go watch Into the Spider-Verse instead because it's the best Spider-Man movie.
It is the best Spider-Man movie. Yes, facts.
Yeah. I can't find a flaw in
Unanimous. And it's so good. Yeah.
And
go on.
And don't watch Ultimate Spider-Man.
Don't watch Ultimate Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. The show. Don't watch many of the shows. Yeah. Well, yeah. Let us know what you think. Do you guys like the old Spider-Man movies? What other kind of wrong opinions do you have? You know,
a lot, a little bit.
Yeah,
why is Venom the best villain of all of them?
You decide, and we'll catch you next time.
Later, everyone.